Certainly good to see you out this morning. Sometimes this mic has a little delayed reaction. Sometimes I have a little delayed reaction too. Certainly have a good crowd out this morning. It is kind of a rainy, dreary morning, but we've been blessed with several beautiful days and unseasonably warm temperatures, so we can't complain about this liquid sunshine that we're getting today. I would like to say we appreciate the presence of everyone. If you're here and visiting with us, that you're our honored guest. We invite you back on every occasion that you have to be with us, and hope that you will benefit by being present with us during our worship service this morning. We are here to glorify God, to exalt Him as He's so worthy of, and we're also here to edify and to encourage and build each other up in our song service and the prayers that are offered up. Appreciate those that have already participated, Roy in teaching the Bible class, and Dustin in leading the singing and the prayers that have been led, and just so thankful for everyone's involvement, everyone's engagement to help the worship service be pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. I'd like to also say, in the month of December, we have suffered great loss as a congregation in that we lost Sister Joan Cash, and we also lost Brother Gatliff Craig, and we know that those are people that you cannot lose and it not affect the whole congregation. Those were people that had played such a great role in this congregation for so many years. You just cannot lose people like that and it not have effect for a lasting time. But I think that Joan and Gatliff both, if they could talk to us today, would say, carry on, fight the good fight, and finish your course as they did. That's what we have to do as God's people. And I think we need to maybe step it up a little bit as God's people. We're going to talk about, just for a few moments this morning, I've kind of brought a series of lessons about the season and the harvest of a season and all the things that goes into having a harvest. And it kind of came out good to where we're going, getting ready to go into a new year. If you remember last year about this time, I preached a sermon on how that God loves new beginnings. And I give a lot of examples from the Bible how that people had new beginnings. God does love new beginnings. He does love for people to find new things, especially the gospel, the salvation that's revealed in the gospel. He does love for people to come out of a world of sinfulness and worldliness and come into the knowledge and understanding that He has provided through His Son Jesus Christ salvation on Calvary's cross. God loves that. He loves new beginnings. And the thing about it is, as we approach a new year and Tuesday night at midnight, 2019 will be history, won't it? And then we've got a new year. We've got new opportunities in front of us. There's a lot of things that we can look forward to, a lot of things that we might be thinking about that we're planning on and proving up on in our physical lives. And I'm going to talk about a few things this morning that maybe we could look at. Maybe some of them are applicable to you, maybe they're not. But maybe there's some things in our spiritual lives that could use some resolution and maybe some resolvement in doing a better job with them. And again, I'm not here just preaching to you. I'm preaching with you, and because I always have things in my life that I need to improve upon and work upon. Just because I'm standing up here does not exalt me above having things that I need to work on, and I know that. And we can all benefit from looking at the new year as new opportunities to do better in our spiritual lives. And again, I know a lot of people talk about what they want to do in this new year as it pertains to prosperity, maybe job promotions, maybe it is that we want to gain a little weight, maybe we want to lose a little weight, maybe we want to exercise, get better physical condition, maybe we want to do a better job managing our money, maybe this time next year we hope to have a little bit more money in a savings account. There's all kinds of things that we can look at and all kinds of things that people do at this time of year, and as the old year is going out and a new year is coming in, that we might want to make some resolutions about. And as I thought about that, I found this slide, and I thought it's very appropriate. It says, there are greater things to be achieved in every new year, and in each and every one must prepare themselves to be great, not by words of mouth, but by a lot of sacrifices. You know, we talked about in that series of lessons that I gave the idea of how whenever it's time to step it up, you might have to make some sacrifices. When it's time to step it up for the Lord, you might have to make some sacrifices. We understand, how people understand the physical things. If you want to do good in school, then you might have to devote a little more time to it. You might have to watch less TV. You might have to be on the social media less because you've got to hit the books. We understand that. If you want a promotion at work, you might have to be a little more dedicated to that. You might have to give a few more hours each week if you're in a position where you can do that. And you understand that. You're willing to make those sacrifices. But when it comes to our spiritual well-being, when it comes to improving ourselves spiritually, when it comes to improving ourselves in God's eyes, and that's what we need to be concerned about as His people, what are we willing to sacrifice, or what are we willing to give up, or what are we even willing to make some changes or adjustments in our life? Are we willing to make some adjustments? Are we willing to look at that new year again as new hope, new opportunities, some things that we might accomplish as God's people? I certainly hope that we are. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. And it says down at the bottom of that, new year, new opportunities, be ready. You know, I think about it, shows a picture here of a person's feet, and we've talked about how that sometimes we have to put our feet to God's plan because we are His ambassadors here upon this earth. We are His advocates. We're the ones, oftentimes, if it wasn't for us, the careless world may never see God any other place. And we need to realize that as His people, and realize the awesome responsibility and yet the awesome reward that comes from that, because we have chosen to be His people. And if we do that, then we'll go forward into the new year thinking about new opportunities where we might lead others to Christ, where we might be stronger ourselves spiritually, where we might be more of a help to people who are in a crisis. You know, I can say how honored I was to see everybody step up this week and how everybody pitched in to make that hard time for the Craig family so much more bearable. All the food that was prepared, all the people that was down at the Quail Park helping to get all that ready and to serve, just so many people that was engaged and helping in whatever way they could. Again, that's what Christianity is about. That was people seeing an opportunity to do good, to glorify God through their actions. They put feet and hands to what God has told us to do. They made an invisible God visible through their actions. And that's what we need to be doing as God's people. And again, just keep in mind, there's a lot of people that we come in contact with that know nothing about God. And the only God that they might see, the only way that they might come to know Christ is through you, through the things that you choose to say, through the things that you choose to do, through all the deeds that you do in the course of a day, in the course of a week. And we need to see those as His people as opportunities to try to lead them to Christ. And I assure you, if we all take that approach as we enter this new year, good things are going to happen. Here's a New Year's prayer that I found that I really like, so I'm going to share it with you. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the brand new year ahead. Help me live the way I should as each new day I tread. Give me gentle wisdom that I might help a friend. Give me strength and courage so a shoulder I might lend. The year ahead is empty. Help me fill it with good things. Each new day filled with joy and happiness it brings. You know, if we could just have that attitude as we go into the new year. And yes, we have suffered loss. And yes, there are things that's different as we go into the new year. There are changes that have been made. But also, we got to realize that there's a lot of very, very good opportunities as we approach the new year, 2020. And we need to be thankful that we've been blessed with our health so that we can do the things that God would have us to do. This scripture is from the prophet Isaiah, if I can see it, Isaiah 43:18-19, and it says there, Happy New Year. And this is something that Isaiah prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Again, 2019 is all but history. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts. And I talked a lot about the scripture. Christ came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And whenever you think about these illustrations that Isaiah uses here, he's talking about the coming of Christ. That's something to be excited about and something to be happy about. We talked about it last Sunday morning, of knowing that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and walked among men, and he knows the things that we wrestle with and deal with. Came up with about 10 New Year's resolutions from a spiritual standpoint. Again, I know many would have some that they could add to this list, and some that would be different, some that might be more appropriate for one than another. But these are things that I think would be beneficial to us all if we would just give a little time and consideration to them. Pray every day to hear God's will for my life and be obedient to it. Deuteronomy 4:7, whatever nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? You know, that word there, God, little g, and a plural, that's not much. That's not much. That's not very important. We see other nations that exalt other gods, and there's a lot of them. But our God is near us whenever we pray unto him. We see our God in action. We see the things that he can accomplish. We've seen it so much throughout this year. We've seen the results of righteous men offering up prayers unto God. So why not want to pray and to communicate with God on a regular basis? Just make it part of your everyday routine. Not that it would be a routine, but it's something that we would be well to get in the habit of, is saying, I've got to say my prayers. I've got to talk to God. And then when we see what it is that his purpose is in our life, we just surrender to that and we be obedient to that. We talked about in our Bible class this morning, you know, it doesn't really matter what Robbie thinks, it doesn't matter what Roy thinks or Chris or Corey or anybody else, but it does matter what God thinks. It is important what God thinks. I didn't say that in a way to be disrespectful to them. It does matter if they're saying things that pertain to God. But if it's a man's thoughts, his wisdom, his intellect that we're following after, then we don't have to be obedient to that. But we do have to be obedient to God, and we need to be subject to his word and his will. And whenever we seek it out, get busy doing it. Read the Bible every day to understand God's character and his ways. Look what the Hebrew writer in 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's powerful scripture, isn't it? The Word of God has the ability to do that. The Word of God is active. It is alive. It can change people's lives. It can change our lives. If we'll read it, we'll pray about it, and we'll have the desire to be obedient to it, we'll see that it can have positive influence and results in our lives and the lives of others, those that we come in contact with. Don't ever underestimate the power of the Word of God and spending time in it. Spending time studying it and meditating upon it and realizing that it is alive. It can become a living part of your life if you'll but let it. And again, it has the ability to judge the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. I don't have that. Do you have that? Sometimes I may think that I do, and sometimes I may think that I can judge something or somebody, but I can't. I can't know what's in your heart. So God's Word, it can, and it does. The third thing, encourage others to start or continue their journey of faith. And again, God loves new beginnings, and we're going into a new year. If you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel, there'd be no better time than start the year out right as one of God's children. Start your Christian journey. Start your Christian walk. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. You know, we have a responsibility. If we know somebody that's fell by the wayside, they quit coming to church and they were once a part of this fold, we have the responsibility to try to restore that person, not out of malice or big I, little you feeling, but a feeling of love and concern for that person. And if you know somebody, maybe somebody comes to mind, think about what you might do to help restore them to God, to encourage them, to get back on track, and that we would all be of one mind and that we could live in the peace and they could have the same peace that you have if you've been where you're supposed to be. Number four, invite at least one person from my family or community to my church every week. This is a big one. And look what the Hebrew writer says about this thought. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, it takes encouragement from people, don't it? It takes encouragement from other people along life's way, because we deal with a lot of things that can be discouraging. We deal with a lot of things that can pull us down. And if somebody doesn't come along occasionally and say, good job, appreciate you doing that, keep up the good work, you know, we can become discouraged. We have that responsibility given to us through God's Word to encourage one another. Whenever you think about the idea of inviting at least one person from your church or from your family or from your church community to church, just think about over the course of a year how many invitations would go out to people if each and everybody that's sitting in this building this morning amongst these four walls would just do that. Just think about how many invitations would go out to expose people to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And number five, join a local year-round Bible study. Psalms 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do we obtain that in our hearts? We hear it preached, we hear it taught, we study it, we meditate upon it ourselves. Whenever we're not taking advantage of Bible studies that are being offered, whether they be here or whether they be at someone's kitchen table, then we're not taking advantage of God's Word. We're not getting all that we can get. So if you joined yourself to a Bible study such as that, maybe it's the one that we're having here. Maybe you choose not to come to the Bible study on Sunday morning. What are you missing? How could you benefit from it? How could the teachers of the class benefit if you were present? Would it be encouraging to them to look out and see a full audience? Would it be more encouraging to them? Would they be encouraged to keep on keeping on? It most certainly would. And number six, commit to a community outreach. You know, something that we've done here is just like the other day, we made those fruit baskets or gift baskets and bags and took them to many different people in the area. That wasn't accomplished through church treasury funds. That was made by donations of the people of this church. And that was an outreach. And it reached a lot of people, just as the card was read this morning. That's something that we're doing to reach out into this community and let people know that we're thinking about them, that we're concerned about them, and most importantly, that we would like to see them come to church so that they could get saved and know what we know and have the peace that we have. Deuteronomy 10:18, He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you. Give them food and clothing. Again, whenever we reach out, it's an act of compassion. It's an act of kindness. It's a way that we reach the community, again, that might not otherwise know that there's any difference in people that go to church and them. We need to be busy thinking about those things. I know that we send many cards to people that are having difficulties in their lives in the community. Those get a lot of response. People really, they really are thankful and considerate of the fact that we took time to do that and we took time to sign that and that we took time to get that to them. And that's an outreach. And that's the kind of things we need to be doing as God's people. And His Word tells us that we need to be busy reaching out to the community. It's not like that we have salvation, those of us that are Christians in this congregation. We have it and we don't want nobody else to have it, or we don't want to share it with anybody else, but it is that we do want to share it. We do want to reach out to them. We do want to make a difference in their life so that we would glorify our Lord and Savior. Number 7, volunteer to teach Bible class or help with nursery class. You know, that's a big thing when somebody steps up to volunteer to help, because it does take sacrifice. We all know that. Any of us that's participated in teaching or preaching or any performance of the acts of worship, it takes sacrifice, because you've got to think about that ahead of time. You've got to give some thought to it, and you've got to make some preparation for that. And whenever you do that, that says volumes about the fact that you've got a willingness to be a servant. You've got a willingness to be a servant. Look what it says about Jesus Christ in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Sometimes it's hard for us to take on the attitude and the disposition of a servant and just say, what can I do to help? What can I do to further the cause of Christ and Christianity in this location? Where could I be of benefit to other people that I might glorify God? Number 8, open my home to times of fellowship and discipleship. Hebrews 10:2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels. You know, this is something that I fear has kind of left church people, and I heard a lady discussing this the other day, and she put a lot of impact on me, and that she realized that some of the things that was keeping her from being hospitable were the things that the devil would be happy with, and she had put some of those things away so that she would have more time, so that she, I'm talking about worldly possessions. She had downsized maybe her home. She had done away, her and her husband decided if they just had one vehicle, that would free her up more to help people and to show hospitality and have people into their house and to lead them to Christ. I think about, well, our dear brother Gatliff, how many people that I've talked to that spent a lot of time at Gatliff's house, spent a lot of time, and their lives were influenced underneath that roof because he was hospitable. He had a lot of hospitality to him. And I think about Brenda's dad. And sometimes, and she made this point, sometimes we might feel like because we don't have a bigger home or a nicer home or a fancier home that we can't show hospitality. It's not about that. That's where the devil comes into play, and he will discourage us from doing those things, when what it is about is for us to have a big heart, to show hospitality, to have people in our home, to share good times together, to maybe share a meal together, to build each other up. Brenda's dad was a person, he had a small house, but he showed so much hospitality, and there wasn't many Sundays that there wasn't a bunch of people gathered at his house all Sunday afternoon to visit and to talk. And I remember those times, and I remember how he wasn't focused on the size of his house, he was focused on doing the Lord's will. Sometimes I fear that, just like this lady pointed out, we focus too much on the material side of it, and we think, well, mine might not be good enough, it might not be big enough, it might not be fancy enough, when really what God wants us to do is to extend that hospitality from our heart. God loves hospitality. Appreciate all those that show hospitality, just like Bill and Shirley did the other day. And I know that's sacrifice, ain't it? Because now you've given up something that you might be a benefit to someone else. You've given up your Sunday afternoon, or you've given up another time in the week that you might be of a benefit to someone else, that you might help them in their spiritual growth. Again, that's an attitude of servitude, isn't it? Number 9, commit to identifying the needs versus wants in my budget and increasing my charitable giving. And again, this, I'm not just talking about, I hope you don't think that the preacher's saying we all need to give more, you must be wanting to raise. I think what he's talking about here is, in general, have an attitude of being willingness to give. Whenever people stepped up and gave for those fruit bags to be prepared, that was a charitable giving. It was something that we could give and do that we might outreach to the community. I think we're to be commended for that. I think that God looks down on that as being favorable. And again, sometimes we get our wants and our needs mixed up, and we we want a lot more than what we need, and it might overextend us to the point that we don't have to contribute to those things. Matthew 6:28, and Christ tells his disciples there, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin." Christ has told us if we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, there in verse 33 of the same chapter, that all these other things will be added unto us. And some of these things that I'm suggesting that we do more of as we go into this new year are just such things that would glorify God, that would bring glory to Him. And I don't think any of us are going to do without if we extend this type of hospitality, if we show this kind of love for those outside of even the body of Christ, to be able to help them so that they could see, just like Christ had compassion on those that He came in contact with, so that they could see that we do care, that we do have compassion for them, we are concerned about their spiritual well-being, and that we are concerned about where they'll spend eternity. And number 10, the last one, keep a journal to daily or weekly document the progress of my resolutions. And you know, we do that a lot when it comes to physical things. We keep a pretty accurate journal or a record of how things are going according to the way we projected that we wanted them to go. Exodus 13:9. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that this law of the Lord is to be on your lips. And again, I might turn there and just read a few verses to kind of enlighten us on that scripture. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." And verse 4, "This day came ye out in the month of Ab, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, of the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten even 7 days, and there shall no leaven be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all the quarters. And verse 8, thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And verse 9, the one on her screen, and it shall be for a sign unto these upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thy eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt." To paraphrase that and bring that to the New Testament time in which you and I live under, you could read John 3:16, where it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on him should not perish but have life everlasting. And then, of course, verse 17, he says, "Christ came not into the world that the world through him might be condemned, but that the world through him might be saved." What do we do to keep that on the forefront of our minds? And this is a scripture that kind of tells us the same idea that was under the law of Moses should be under the New Testament law. We need to have that in the forefront of our minds. Every situation that comes our way, we need to have that in the forefront of our mind. Because Jesus Christ did come to this low land of sin and sorrow. He died that cruel death on Calvary's cross to provide salvation for all humanity. You and I are His ambassadors. What are we going to do with the new year that we have ahead of us to help lead others to Christ, to be the influence, to be the example? Again, if we look at men like Brother Gatliff that have passed on, those are big shoes to fill from a spiritual standpoint. Those are big shoes to fill. I think we got men here that can. Not that they'll ever be exactly like Gatliff, because we all have an individual personality. I remember when my father-in-law got killed, an elderly lady at church told me, she said, "Tommy was a pillar in this church." And she said, "You younger guys now are going to have to step it up a little bit." And I remember telling her with tears in my eyes, I said, "I can never fill those shoes." But who's going to do it? You know, we could all say that. We could all say, I can't fill those shoes. But who's going to do it if we don't? Who's going to be those people who were given to hospitality? Who's going to be those people that were given to listening to people's problems and their concern? Who's going to be those people who offer good, sound, spiritual advice to young people who come to them with questions? I'll throw this out. Josh McKibben shared with us the other day that he considered going over to Bethel as a young man because he went over there and filled in some. They asked him to come full time, and he asked some of the brethren here. And the last one he asked was Brother Gatliff. And Gatliff told him, he said, Josh, he said, I think you would do fine. I think that you would do well over there. But I feel that you would miss out on some things here that might be beneficial for your spiritual growth to take you to the next level. And Josh said, upon that wisdom and upon that advice, he chose to wait a while to be a gospel preacher. And look where he's at now and look what he's accomplishing for the Lord. He knew that was good, sound advice because of the person that it came from. Yes, we have a lot to do. A lot of things are going on. We have a lot going on. We got a new Bible study that's starting, and that should be exciting to all of us. We're going to be studying in the beginning of that, the life of Christ. That should be something that if you haven't attended church a lot and haven't been around the exposure to Bible teaching, that you could step in and it'd be a great place for you to start. And it'd be a great place for you to have that new beginning so that you might understand what it is that God expects of you, so that you might understand what it is that Jesus Christ provided for you through His ministry of preaching the gospel and through His death on Calvary's cross. If you're here this morning and you've never made the decision to do that, God has a plan. And of course, man by nature is sinful. Romans 6:23, you know, it tells us there that we were once servants of unrighteousness, but whenever we accepted God, we become servants of righteousness. And we read the other night in our invitation Wednesday night over in Isaiah 59:2 how that sin separates man from God. God is light and in Him is no darkness. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so there's no one that's exempt from that. But if we want to be reconciled with God, we can by accepting what was provided for us on Calvary's cross. We have to be willing to make that good confession. We have to be willing to repent of our past sins. We have to be willing to be buried in that watery grave of baptism. And then we can, just like that girl on that first slide, we can go from being this old person, this sinful person, this person that is without hope, to be reconciled unto God when we go across that divide that's been put there because Jesus Christ made it possible for us to do that. If you're here and you've never done that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe you have done that, but you have slipped back into the world and you know that your sin separates you from God and you know that you're not where you've needed to be for some time and you would like to make your life right with God. We'll assist you and help you with that in any way that we can. We'll pray for you and with you. We can't do anything with your sin, but God can. We can pray for you and with you, and you can take up your rightful place among God's people this very morning. If we can help you or assist you in any way, we'd ask you to come as together we stand and as we sing.